Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Happy holidays, Road Trippin' fam. On this edition, we have who Channing calls the most Googled person of 2018. Now, whether that is true, not true, whatever the case may be, Tristan Thompson is the lucky guest for Cleveland, and it begins the only way Channing and Double T would know how, breaking down Canadian bacon. Yes, tis true. The duo, along with J. Mike and Angel, then are surprised by Jordan Clarkson yet again as they talk more NBA around the league, the state of the Cavs currently, and plenty more, like how upset George Hill was when he found out he was headed out of the land. Now, it doesn't stop there. There's a round of rapid-fire questions, and it goes off the rails, as you can imagine. But hey, if there's anything Double T would change about himself, well, I'll let you take a listen. J. Mike, guys, take it away.
Well, thank you, Allie, along with Channing Frye and Angel Gray. This is John Michael. Great to have you with us for another edition.
John Michael Michaels.
Mm-hmm. Another edition of Road Tripping. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, yep. Cheers.
Yep. Oh, man. Best part.
Before we introduce our featured guest,
let's say this. He is the 2018 most Googled athlete in the world.
Are those facts? Like,
this is a fact. I saw it on Instagram.
That's a tease. Before we introduce our featured guest, let's recap what we learned last podcast with George Hill, who now maybe appropriately is a Milwaukee Buck, noting his affinity for animal life.
Yes. And zonkies.
We learned that A, zonkies are kickers.
Yes.
That's important.
He owns a donkey mixed with a zebra called a zonkie.
Mm-hmm. He owns one.
How did that happen?
we'll get into it. So many.
Was it artificial embryos, like kind of like what they do with
babies now?
I don't know
what he does. That's none of our business anymore.
I mean, he got like a 300 square foot ranch in San Antonio, middle of Nora.
He does. He has one donkey. He has not named it Channing or anything else. He just calls it donkey.
But it's a protector. We learned that.
We learned that.
Is this the zonkey?
No.
Just the donkey.
Zonkies are kickers, T. Zonkies are kickers. And we also learned that sometimes the elderly elk don't let the younger male elk do their thing.
Yeah.
They elk block.
Yeah. They elk block.
And which isn't cool at all.
J-Mike, what was the noise that they make, though?
That was the noise that George's buddies were making when they got charged by the boar, if you recall. Boars.
The stories.
That's what we learned. That's what we learned last time on Road Trip.
At least the one with Charles Barkley was really good.
I wasn't on that one. That's okay, though.
I mean, you and RJ are still a tandem.
And with that, let's introduce our feature.
Another, you know what? Just daggers to the heart. Let's introduce Tristan Alfonso Thompson.
Good to
see
you,
buddy. That's not my middle name, but yes, thank you, Alfonso. It's actually Trevor James Channing.
Trevor James, that's so Canadian. Here's a Canadian question. Why does Canada need their own type of bacon? It's just ham and some grease.
I think Americans call that because that's where you guys buy it from. We never call it Canadian bacon. We just call it bacon in Canada. We don't call it Canadian bacon. Only Americans call it Canadian bacon.
Our bacon, what do you call that in Canada?
We don't buy American bacon. Why would we buy American bacon if you guys want our bacon? Clearly, our bacon is good.
That's a great question.
Maybe 10 years of my life, eating Canadian bacon maybe twice.
I mean, I don't eat bacon, but I'm just saying.
You're messing out, buddy. It's delicious. If it ain't pork, don't put it on my fork.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? Look, pork belly, pork snout, pork ears. What's up? Give me the whole thing. Yeah. Ribs.
You're going to eat it, all the guts.
Nah. Okay. Well, would you say it like that? You know what? Interesting. Way to ruin it. Anyways, Tristan, your little anky wanky is hurt right now. So you're
sitting out.
It's
actually my
foot. Foot anky wanky, footy woody. It's all
much
good.
Much better. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mr. Longevity. Mm-hmm.
447.
Wow. 447 games. And then you get a little twisty-wisty. How does it feel taking some time off? Do you feel rested? Do you feel rejuvenated?
I want to go out there and play, obviously.
Right, because you're tired of doing conditioning.
I feel like you do way more work when you're injured than when you're playing.
I said this.
What's the point of being? It's like being injured is the worst thing ever.
I
feel like I work harder.
Yes, I work worse.
I wake up and I'm like, now I have tendonitis. I'm like, I haven't had tendonitis all season. Now I have tendonitis doing all this rehab stuff. It's like, come on. It's like hustling backwards. But
your body is built to play basketball because that's what you've been doing. Like, when you have to get back, you can't play basketball the way you're used to, so they have to supplement you. Mm-hmm. Like most people could, if you had to live off the land, right? You could live off the land perfectly fine, eat, you would lose some weight. Mm-hmm. You're really not going to get fat because you have to forage for your food, you have to kill for your food. But then when you start supplementing your food with different powders and proteins and all this other kind of stuff, that's when you get fat.
Yeah, so you gain the weight, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All the sodium and all that extra.
Right, exactly. So when you're not playing, you do all this extra that doesn't make any sense because you just need to do busy work.
Mm-hmm. There's always work.
Tristan's out of shape. Let's run him for 17 miles. When does he ever run 17 miles?
So it's a question, how much weight has he gained?
Zero. I haven't gained any.
Tristan came in this season the best shape of his life. Yeah. I'll tell you this. I've been telling guys this. I think it is almost amazing if people who love basketball watch basketball. If anybody has ever played a basketball game and they've tried to go for an offensive rebound or even a rebound in general, the energy that takes is absolutely, to me at least, who does not even venture nowhere near the paint, right?
You made a great living at that three-point line.
Unless it's necessary. Oh, I'll get me a long rebound now.
Yeah.
But it's not what you pay me for. You don't pay me to go nowhere near there. I'm supposed to stay as far away so the other big guy stays as far away so that we both have no rebounds.
Cancel.
And you're miserable and I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Tristan touches the ball every time. Whether he gets it or not, Tristan's hand touches the ball. I've seen this for 3 years straight. For podcast purposes, let's say he's the only guy that goes for offensive rebounds at times. It's 1 versus 4, 1 versus 3. He still touches it.
Top 10 in offensive rebounds in the NBA 5 times, Channing Frye.
That's crazy.
5 times. And on pace to do it once again this season.
Yeah. If his little footy woody wasn't hurdy wordy,
I'll be all right.
He's still out ahead. He'll do it.
He'll do it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just want to make sure Tristan is motivated to do it. You know, Tristan sometimes,
I'm very motivated, Channing.
Why? What motivates you, Tristan? You got a championship.
Yeah.
You're paid. You got a new baby girl. You're living life. You're basically engaged to the internet. What's up?
I have a beautiful family.
Yes.
I've had success in my personal career.
So what motivates you? You got everything. What more do you need?
I don't have everything.
What do you need?
want everything. I just want to, you know, I want to.
Basketball wise.
Basketball wise, I think want to be, you know, top 10, top 20 in rebounds all time in our league. I think that's an area where it's a good goal. I think at the end of the day, that's what my niche was in the league, and that's what made me, you know, separate myself from others. I think not just offensive rebounding wise, but I think this year I've been better defensive rebounding. So I'm like, you know, why not challenge myself to be in that list of the greats? And then obviously with the Cavs, you know, a great accomplishment would be leading the franchise in rebounds total. So that's what motivates me.
That's a good answer.
That was really good.
I mean, that's a real one. I mean, I see get your name in the rafters.
But you know,
you lead a franchise in rebounds. It puts you in a good.
What about
a good 3-point chance.
Percentage in the playoffs?
Well, he has yet to shoot a three. So.
Yeah, who does that?
He's not talking about Tristan anymore.
No, right. No, 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 no. I don't know who does that. Squeaky, squeaky. That was me.
Deli?
Huh?
Deli?
Stop it. Boy, you
Kyle Korver?
Stop it. Boy, nope.
Kyrie Irving?
Nope. The lights, when the lights get bright, you know, some people are roaches. Other people are moths.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. Listen.
Shots fired.
No, not names to them. I'm just saying, listen.
Not to those. No, some of those names do make shots at the big moments.
Oh, dude.
But there's some that don't.
But I'm saying, listen.
Cavs history.
Channing Frye is not Cavs afraid history. Of the big moments. He's
no,
not
no,
afraid.
No. Cavs history. And I'll say, in most NBA history, there are regular season guys and there are playoff guys.
And I always said that Channing Frye was a playoff guy. I've always said that since day one. Ever since we got Channing in the trade, you know, Channing is a guy you need in the playoffs just because what he brings to the table, you know, big guys hate it. You know, when we look at our matches that we had, you know, we've had Detroit 1 year, you know,
Indiana.
Detroit, and we're down. Actually, a good story. We're down 20-something points against Indiana in game 3. Mm-hmm. We put Channing in, and we're just looking for answers. And then Channing and Kyle literally go off together.
Oh, Kyle was going.
He was,
apeshit.
They were just, like, taking turns. It was like, you know, who wanted to get their eyes shoot off? Yeah.
That story.
I mean, I'm telling you.
That was Channing.
Yes. That's what he does. How about when we first made the play for you, Elbow Big.
Oh, man.
Elbow Big against Toronto. They couldn't stop it.
They couldn't do nothing.
Yeah.
We always ask the players who get traded to the Cavs, what was that transition like? Let me ask you, T, when Channing got acquired, what does that do to the locker room when you get a player who can change the game like he does and provides a different dynamic, really, than what this team had at that time?
No, I tell everyone, when Channing joined our team, after the season was over and Channing, we won that year, right? The first year we won it, right? So after that year, everyone's talking about, you know, like, what made y'all so close to come back from the 3-1? It's really Channing in his group chats, no matter how much goofy we say. It's really the Channing Frye group chat. Like, we had RJ. RJ was great, and RJ was very, like, you know, he'd do the group chats, but not as, like, when Channing came, he was all about it, and he was, you know, putting everyone together and making jokes and sending those gifts. Like, I didn't know nothing about gifts that much until he came around. I'm like, oh, my gosh, these fucking gifts every day. But that's what brings the team together. It builds that, you know, camaraderie. Like, it's huge. And I think that's what helped us.
T, for those listening in, right, who are saying, come on, Tristan. I mean, that just group text, really, can that have that much
it's
of an effect
huge,
on a basketball team on the floor?
Mm-hmm. It almost forced us to, like, not force it, but it made us feel comfortable linking up with each other and hanging up.
Like each other.
Like, going to dinner. Like, even though we had our dinner crew, like, he just brought a different energy and vibe.
Ooh.
Speaking of, look who it is. Oh, well, okay.
Jordan Clarkey working. Yeah,
Jordan JC here. I think he's here for the wine.
Yeah, he definitely here. You know what he found? He smelled it.
Speaking of gifts.
Yeah, the man's here.
Tristan.
Big Fresh.
We,
the flyest guy you
already.
Ever seen in your life.
Boy.
I'm done, bye.
So, speaking of gifts and
Jordan
Channing and everything that Channing brings to the team, I know I have a gif of him falling in slow motion while we were on our away trip. I don't know if you were in the back, but he fell in slow motion. And then also the last
How'd he fall in slow motion?
We'll show you. I'll make sure to show you. And then also, he's obviously a great passer. What were you thinking when he passed the ball to Collar?
Oh, man. That yesterday, because I was on the bench, too. I was like.
Because I think he tried to blame it on you at first.
No. I tried to
Colin,
blame it
on
Collar.
No, blame
Collar.
I was like, he was up, too.
Was it me or was Collar waving?
He was
waving
he
was at something.
Waving.
It was a little out of the ordinary what was going on.
Yeah, he almost like, he had a reaction where it was like, you're actually low-key like calling for the ball.
Right.
But I think at the same time, I think he was more just not saying call for. I think he wanted to change like dunk it or make a move.
Okay, first of all, Here's the honest
It was an
truth.
Unnatural move.
Yeah,
is
it
all
was.
I'm
I've never seen it
on the
bench.
Oh, super. So right. So here's the honest truth about what's going on.
Wesley should have dunked him an easy bucket.
I pump fake bid and big Embiid. Mm-hmm. I think get your feet right, boomski daddy. Right, mm-hmm. Boom. One dribble, 1-2. I saw Jimmy Butler. I said, get off it.
Right. You knew you didn't. You couldn't jump high enough to dunk on Jimmy Butler.
Okay, because I'm saying so. How you're taught in Phoenix is when once you get by your guy, if you get a dribble in the paint and you don't have a clear butt naked layup, mm-hmm. kick out for threes, right?
They gotta hold themselves up.
Right. So the minute I drive baseline, I'm thinking to myself, no way, nobody doesn't baseline drive, baseline drift. Honestly, I'm like, okay. Somebody is going to be in the corner because somebody is always supposed to be in the corner regardless. Like, this is basketball. Obviously, nobody was in the corner. And I saw somebody with black wave their arm above their head.
That's what I said.
So I went
it
like
was
this.
Unnatural,
you
whatever it was.
You saw me look at Blossingame, right? Or Bloomingdale's.
Bloomingdale's. We call them Bloomingdale's.
Right?
We call
Bloomingdale's.
Bloomingdale's.
So I looked at him, and then I said, oh, corner three, got him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I looked and I said, oh, he's out of oh, no, he's not even in the game.
I think
oh.
even Larry
because
Drew
usually
was at
my minutes
point.
Come with Colin in the game. So the fact that I wasn't playing with Colin is actually weird for me. First of all, the fact that I'm playing in general is weird for me. So, you know, like.
But that's being a pro, always staying ready.
It, right.
Always
so
staying
I threw
ready.
It to Colin thinking, oh, Buttery J from the corner. Money, and then all of a sudden he looked at me weird, and I said, that's a warm-up, dog. Oh. And then TJ McConnell was like, Channing, what's up, dog? You okay? Like, you know, we went to Arizona, so, oh, you know, it, so guy. It's a good dude, man. But, like, we were just joking around, and I was like, yeah, but listen, yeah, I fucked up. Yeah. Oh, well, shit happens. I'm trying to, you know, try to get my teammates a J.
But see, little things like that make Channing so special to the team.
Thank you.
The glue.
Yes.
The glue guy.
Yeah.
You would agree, Tristan, right?
Yes, definitely agree. Like I say, Channy is like our champ, so we need him around.
Man, listen. Look, so since we have two of you guys here, let's talk about the L.A. connection here.
I never
so
played for an L.A. team.
No, here we go. Stop. Both you guys were Supreme.
Yeah.
Why do you guys wear Supreme so
when
much?
People wear Supreme in Tokyo. They wear Supreme in Seoul.
I don't know
Supreme
Tokyo. I don't know Seoul. I only
Seoul
know
is in Korea.
Okay. I only know,
what's
I know the airplane.
It's a streetwear brand. It's pretty tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we got access to it, mm-hmm. so we make it tighter.
Does Supreme make it in 17s or 18s?
Shoes?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
You know
but I think,
I
no,
think
but no, hold on. No, the collab with Nike, I think they might have did big sizes for certain shoes. Maybe the Air Force.
The Air Force ones.
But if you're a 17 in shoes, you know you can wear 16 Air Forces because they run big.
Oh. Mm. So wait.
Just
I
a little.
Get some tight gear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's new on the fashion? Do y'all do the Fashion Week stuff? Like, if you weren't in the league, would you actually go to Fashion Week in New York or Paris?
Well, seeing that, you know, we are always on a winning team, so, like, usually guys that don't make it as far as us usually have time to go to, like, Paris Fashion Week because, like, that's when, you know, winners are still playing. So I've been to 4 finals. So, you know, obviously that's a priority of mine is playing to the finals. But, you know, this year might be a little different. So, you know, if, you know, nice vacation, why not go to Paris and enjoy the culture and do a little road trip, you know, in Europe and then bless them with our presence at Fashion Week.
So, Jordan, so
that's how you
looked
at it, too. I think he agrees.
Yeah. But yeah.
You've been there a bunch.
No, I actually didn't. I didn't want to go by myself either. But if he go, I'll go.
Oh, that's
cute.
You
don't want to go by yourself, though. Cause, like,
that was precious.
The last thing I want to do is go and then, like, talk to NBA guys I really don't care about. Like,
yeah.
That's the last thing I'm going to do. I'll tell you one thing. I'm definitely going to talk to a guy I really don't care about.
Straight
especially up. No athlete.
Can I ask you an honest question? So I know a lot of guys that come to the Cavs.
Yeah.
You've been here. No. So Tristan knows this. A lot of guys that come to the Cavs, all we know for the most part, when you go or come back, like I left. I was never here, came here, left, and then came back. They traded me and then came back. So
I'm glad they brought you back, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't go choose Toronto.
I'm glad I'm here.
Who would have played you or Greg Monroe? Or would they have not signed Greg Monroe if you signed to Toronto?
I don't know. I think they already had
No, no, they didn't sign him yet because they signed him later in the summer. Because you decided, didn't you decide early July?
Right after 4th of July.
Yeah, so then you would have signed. Yeah, they probably wouldn't have took him because they would have gained the 1 year five
you know
or something.
For me, man, I don't, free agency just ain't it for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a big free agency guy. Like,
you mean like you just don't care?
Just let
or
me
you
know.
Mean
no, no,
much
it's
extra?
More like, listen, you like certain teams, here's how I feel as a player. I don't want you to have three guys because this is how it goes. When you are at my age and when you're at my like place in your career, you have two or three guys that say, yo, get this 19-year-old. He's great. Let's develop him. He'll be our 15th guy, right? Three guys say, let's do this. And then you have two guys that say, no, we need a vet that is here for the culture that's going to develop, like a locker room guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me, when you're done, I'll chime in on that too.
But so
I gotta get that off
when
my
I
chest.
Go there, two out of the five coaches are with me and roll with me. The three of the two are like, oh, he's trash. Like, why did we do this? We should have got this guy. I'm not with that. I knew in Cleveland, I know the coaching staff. They're like, Channing, we'd love to have you back. I even asked them. I was like, yo, what's up, guys? Like, what's? They're like, Channing, we'd love to have you back, blah, blah, blah. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I just don't. I understand both sides. Totally. Right? It makes sense. Develop a 19-year-old. But how does a 19-year-old, to me, how does a 19-year-old, how does a 24-year-old, how's a 20-year-old know what to do every single day if he doesn't have somebody underneath him that's done it every single day? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because a 20-year-old is going to say, I'm tired today. I don't feel like working hard. Or, you know what? I ran yesterday. I'm going to run today too because I have energy. That's not right. You're not supposed to run crazy. You're not supposed to kill yourself every single day. It's a long, we are almost halfway through the season, which is crazy, right? If April 9th is our last game, we are almost halfway done with the season, right? Without like, I mean, just time, month-wise. We have a lot of games to go because we have a week, 9-10 days off. Mm-hmm. So think about the feelings that all these young guys have had already. You know, am I going to make this? Am I going to do that? Am I most improved? Am I sixth man? Are we going to make the playoffs? Am I getting minutes? Am I going to go to this? Am I going to go to that? You need somebody that says, hey, chill out. Like, you got one more week. You got two more weeks. You got three more weeks. Like, you know, you need somebody that's going to keep your locker room ready.
Yeah, I agree. I think the problem with the NBA, and I think I'm not going to say problem with the NBA. I think just people's mindset is that, let's be realistic, at the end of the day, a lot of teams don't value the veterans right now just because of the situation what's going on in the NBA. At the end of the day, there's the Golden State Warriors. They're the favorite. They're X amount better than all the other teams. So a lot of the teams that are kind of like in the mid-pack or that are maybe trying to go for the run, they're like, you know what, why bring a veteran in and pay him, you know, 2.5 when we can bring this kid that – we're hoping we get lucky and get a Ginobili.
Super
it's
talented.
Like we're like rolling the dice and begging to hit an RBI. But we really know that this kid's going to probably go to G League and then we're probably going to get rid of him and we'll never see him again. But we could pay him $480,000, $500K. So it's like, why not save the dollars? And because we know we're not going to be good enough. But it's like when you're building a franchise and when you're building a team, it's about you want to build a culture. That's what stays. That's what sticks. That's what sticks, and that's what really, you know, for the front out, it's what helps keep your job, you know? And I think that's what you want. You want to build the culture, and you want to hold guys accountable. You want to hold the young guys accountable. And the only way they could do that is, like what Channing said, you need a veteran guy that's had some kind of success. We're not saying you have to go get the veteran with the best resume, but you got to get the right guy.
You got to get a workhorse.
A guy that has good character, like Channing, like the guys like him, guys like Mike Miller, guys like James Jones. Those guys, you know, even though they might not have been the all-stars and the Hall of Fame first ballot guys, they were still guys that put their time in this league and have had success at certain stages of their career, and it shows. And they've done it the right way, and they'll teach the young guys what it takes to be a pro. You know, a lot of the young guys don't know how to be a pro, and that's why bad organizations stay bad, and they stay bad for a long time until they hit a lucky lick. Like, you know, not everyone's gonna hit the same lucky lick that, you know, the Thunder hit by getting, you know, KD,
James,
Russ, James,
KD,
Surge,
Russ, Lord.
Come on, you even got Jeff Green, and they had to get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. Like, not
crazy.
Teams are banking on the whole Oklahoma City Thunder thing so bad that they've risked like 6-7 years of building something now, that could have been good.
Here's an example. Miami. Do you think that if Udonis Haslam wasn't there, or like D-Wade, right?
Oh, it would be totally different down there.
It would be totally different.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, Pat Riley does a good job.
What Pat Riley is expecting from them, their culture, what has been successful for them, their identity, you know? Like, you look at that, and then you look at Nick Collison, right? And then you look at...
The Spurs, right?
Right. Obviously, the Spurs. I mean, you need a guy who's... And I think this is just... Not saying this because this is my job, but I think, you know, I talk to everybody about this. We have this argument. If you're going to get a young guy, that's a chance. You need to have something underneath him to keep him lifted, right? Because he's going to think, man, I'm more talented than these guys. I'm more this, I'm more that than these guys that are playing before me. But you need a vet to explain the game to him to say, this is your role in the NBA. This is what we expect from you every day. Because that's a problem with, I don't want to say it's a problem, but I think that's the issue in today's basketball is people think, yes, in high school and college, you're good at like passing, shooting, you know, getting to the rack. You know, you're going to get triple doubles in high school. And then you're going to get, you know, double doubles in college.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I want you to do one thing every game. Right? That's all I expect. Right? Jordan, when we need a bucket, I need you to do your go-to move that I see you practice every single day. Yep. I don't need you to go to some crazy joint that you worked on this summer. I need you to go to the Jordan joint, right?
Mm, the bread and butter.
The bread and butter, right? In the mid, like.
That's like 8 different moves, though. I'm just saying.
I mean, he's a professional scorer. Like, he's a professional. Well, the way he scores, it does. You can't even explain it. If you ask him, he can't even explain how he scores.
No, he cannot.
He can't even explain to you.
We worked on this on a plane.
Yeah, actually did.
Which is totally fine. It's like a God-given talent. Like, it's like, Tristan, how do you offense rebound? Okay, I'm going to give you the mechanics, but at the same time,
like, I'm probably not giving. I'm going to reach, grab, hold, run around, crazy energy, go, 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 and then I'm going to tap it, grab it. Okay, good.
Yeah, like you can't teach it. Like, some stuff is just natural, like, you know, like, Channing, like, how are you able to shoot at 7 foot? And he's like, I just taught myself how to shoot. But it's like also like, it's like hand eye coordination. It's like all that stuff. So it's like,
It's also fight or flight. It's like, I was a center in college.
Mind you, guys, I used to love watching Channing on CBS Saturday.
Okay. Arizona, tell us more.
It was more 45. Like, I used to watch. So I'm in Canada, and I'm like in the sixth grade. So it shows you how old Channing is.
I told you, young fellas, I've been playing basketball longer than they've been alive. This is true.
That is facts.
College,
I remember,
could
I was
be
watching
my kid
for sure.
True.
I got a question for Tristan.
Yes.
What drove you to changing from left to right hand?
Left to right. No, I was literally just messing around, just shooting after practice, and I was just trying to shoot right hand, and then, you know. I remember it was Jeremy Pargo and Byron Scott are like, yo, it looks good. Looks good. Why not change? And I was like, you know what? This is like my second year in the league. I have nothing to lose. Can't get any worse. So why not try?
No, it could not have gotten any worse.
Yeah, can't get any worse. Trash. It was trash. My lefty was trash. But I was still dunking on Channing when we played Phoenix.
Oh, sorry.
You talked about coming in the league.
You're nowhere near the rim.
And learning as a rookie or a young guy. What was the biggest thing that you learned or someone instilled in you?
My rookie season, I think I was very blessed and fortunate to have play under Antoine Jameson. Yeah. You know, he's a pro of a pro. He's one of the first class pros. You know, he's a guy that you want those kind of guys around, especially when you draft a young player that you finds very promising. So obviously
he's
him and Bergeau.
Savage dog. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He was one of the hardest guys to guard.
Yeah, because he just
it
the flick shot was crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a position. And then he was running like the Princeton offense in Washington.
Eddie Jordan, right?
And then, but then he was in Golden State. And so they were running some other stuff. And I'm like, yo, what? This dude was so good.
Yeah.
And doesn't get no credit for how good he was. So if Antoine Jameson is listening to this podcast, he's one of the hardest guys.
He is definitely
underrated guys to guard.
Yeah.
He would give you 30, 20, or 30, 15, and like 4, 5. Maybe 8. Nah, 35. And then, like, you'd be like, okay, thank you. I got off good. Like, Easy. Yeah.
Remember how that Washington team, Arenas,
yeah.
Butler,
Butler yeah,
Sean Stevens?
Yeah.
Wait, what school did Gilbert Arenas go to?
Trash.
Nobody cares.
We know it's coming.
Nobody cares?
We know
nobody
it's coming.
I don't know. I just want to hear people say it.
No, no, no. He went to Arizona.
That's why University of Arizona. Oh,
man. No, he was one hell of a player, man. He could score that ball. I love when USA team cut him and he just destroyed them all the next year.
Yo, man. That dude, I've never seen a more detailed, meticulous worker in my life. Like a man who could break down the game to steps, right? Like he had the mind of a Kobe and, you know, based on like, you know, some life choices, it just didn't work out for him in the long run. But dude, when you talk about some of the most talented, gifted basketball players ever from high school.
Like he's just naturally gifted. Like he probably couldn't even explain
man,
his moves.
Listen,
he probably couldn't even explain. That's all naturally
he
gifted.
He would do things that like I remember a game, and you know obviously he's going to hear this, but I remember a game with I think they were playing New York or somebody was like Gilbert shoots too much, so he didn't shoot for a whole half. He literally would go up to get a layup and then dribble it back out and give it to his teammates, and I think they were down 14-15 at the half, and they were like Gilbert stop, and he ended up winning the game for him because he started shooting in the second half. Like he was that good, that dedicated to the game, and that dedication was like crazy. Like, listen, I love basketball, but I'm not as dedicated as that guy is.
How many players are like that in this league?
Zero.
Do you have okay?
Maybe no. I'm not gonna say zero.
At all.
Like of this era, right now, like what
are
you
saying?
Players are like
maybe
that gifted
10.
Where they can just go
maybe
off
less than
without
10.
Thinking about it.
That gifted?
What would you say,
there's 10, a lot of guys like
maybe
that.
There's
a couple guys
10
like that.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Oh no!
No, but I think yeah, there's a lot of guys. Like, I think you could, Kevin Durant is naturally gifted.
One,
he's like that.
Giannis,
JC's
two,
like that. Giannis,
Russell, three.
Lou Williams is naturally. Yeah. He's just a natural Lou, scorer. Lou Williams is a natural
call
scorer.
That's
but
so nothing
Lou
you could do.
But Lou, I know. But Lou Williams is not on a KD and Giannis.
Okay,
level.
Yeah, of course. No, but we're saying yeah, of course. Yeah, but we're saying.
Right. I'm talking about Gil could give you 32 and a half.
Yeah, but I'm
he
saying
could
I'm
control
saying, I'm
the
saying
whole game. I'm talking about players that can control.
Oh, I thought you just talking about just naturally gifted scorers. I thought you just meant like a natural scorer.
No, I'm talking about Gil would score and then pass just so he could score again the next play.
Mm.
Like the game was a simple.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, yeah.
We're
that's
playing
different
chess.
That's different.
He's playing
yeah, yeah
like backgammon. You know, like he's playing Parcheesi.
I don't know what
you know?
Parcheesi is. Sound like hamburger. Sound like a hamburger
oh,
helper.
You're so Atlanta.
He's playing chess with Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, yeah
like
yeah
somebody in this room.
Ooh, Manny Pacquiao.
Shout out to Philippines. Jordan Clarkson.
Philippines, you already know.
Miguel's, dog. Yeah. Give me a Miguel's. Dog, but I'm saying, okay, so, okay, here's our list. Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
KD.
Yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah.
In that order, or just saying?
No order, because then people are gonna get upset because they listen.
Say,
to us.
I mean, you got to put 23 in there
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
put Bron in there too.
Bron.
Okay, Bron. Obviously, okay, Bron. I'm gonna say Steph.
Yeah, I would say Steph.
I would say Clay too. Clay is, bruh. Steph, yeah.
I'm not gonna say. I'm gonna
Clay
say,
starts pacing on the floor like it's.
I'm gonna
his
say
mind
Damian
is made
Lillard
up
over Clay.
Hey,
100%.
No. I don't think so. Okay. Great player.
We can agree.
I love
play,
it.
Play
I
love
it. How about y'all take another drink, another sip?
I love Dame though.
No, but I'm saying this. Clay will chill, and then within their offense, Clay plays the game. Clay and Bradley Beal, to me, are some of my favorite guys to watch because they'll have 2 points in the first quarter, 4-6 points in the second quarter. Then you forget they're even there. 37
yeah
in the third just because they played the game the right way. Option one has got 12. Option two has 12. Option three is like has like 7. So like now he goes, okay, now it's my turn. So that patience is amazing, but it's a understanding of his offense. But I'm saying Dame goes, I'm going to get my team involved. I'm going to get a little bit. I'm going to get my team involved. I'm going to do a little bit. I think Dame's responsibility is more than Clay's.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cold.
Yeah, definitely. I think he has to do a little bit more, of course, for his team.
Especially Clay goes, point guard. Oh, y'all forgot about me. barbecue chicken. Yeah. Barbecue right? Chicken. Where Dame goes, if I don't barbecue chicken second and fourth quarter, mm-hmm. we're going to lose this game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, okay, Nurk. Nurk gets his touches first quarter. Nurk and CJ, right? Mm-hmm. Dame passes. Second quarter, beginning. Dame comes out, does his thing. Dame comes out, CJ does his thing. Third quarter, Nurk a little bit. Fourth quarter, Dame and CJ.
Yeah, usually last 7-8 minutes.
Yeah, right. He goes to barbecue chicken.
Dame show, yeah. And the third quarter and middle of fourth is definitely, it's all Dame.
Yeah, I think Kemba Walker in there.
I mean, I like Kemba. I love Kemba's heart.
Kemba has a Kemba's like a mile runner to me, where like he's gonna give you a steady pace of 57 moves.
He gets right? buckets though. He's so big man. He can split that pick and roll. He's one of the hardest guys to guard in pick and roll because he's just so
the league.
He just gets huh.
He was leading the league in scoring at one point.
I know, but you know what? Listen, let's and this is from a vet. No offense to everybody right now. We played 30 games. We have 52 left. Congrats. You're still working off your summertime fat. There's been no trades. There's been nothing. This doesn't count. I've seen teams go 18-7 right now, and then next thing you know, they say no.
Are you talking about Orlando Magic a couple years ago?
Okay, I was going to say that, but yes, you did. Right? They were 18 and what?
They knocked us over the head.
Whatever they
remember
were.
Remember they came in town and beat us by like 20?
Oh, crush.
And then we had to change our roster. I think that was when we had the D-Wade. That's when we took D-Wade out the lineup.
Yeah, beating the junk out of us.
So yeah, they're beating us. We changed our lineup. Not like dude, saying not say D-Wade was problem. Say we just so changed fast. Our lineup. Like, we just changed our lineup.
You know, you look at the West right now. Houston is 12th. And then...
Man, Houston will be top three in the West when it's all said and done.
Top three, I don't think so.
This year, they've had the best week in the NBA. They've beat the Lakers. They beat Portland.
Top four?
They
top
come back
three
from 20
is a
beat
lot.
Portland.
Top three is a lot for them. Are they going to be? Are they going to have home court in the playoffs? Yes.
So, whoa, four. Doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, four. Sure. Is one through four, yes.
First of all, nobody wants to play them. No one wants to play them a total of 7 games. How many teams in the West can really beat them in 4 games? You can't say Golden State because it's not going to be the Golden State's not going to finish 5th. So just cut that out.
I think teams right now, I think teams are kind of like, do you ever watch? Okay, for some weird reason during the summer, I always watch like track, like long distance athletes run like miles and 2 miles. And then you know how some teams are like the pace setters. They want to set the pace higher for the guys that have already won. So if a guy is used to running like a 158, you know.
The Rabbits.
The Rabbits. Right.
They send the Rabbit out to run 2 laps and a 4 lap race.
There's a bunch of teams that are Rabbits. There's a bunch of teams that are like, you know, the Foxes that say, okay, I'm going to let you run. I'll wait for you to tire yourself out. I'm going to draft behind this team. And then the last 25, 30 games, I'm going to just crush because now I'm engaged.
I mean, that's what we did last year. I mean, that's what we did the last couple years since. I mean, that was kind of our mindset. After the first year we were together, we knew we were never worried. We were never like, oh, the Cavs have lost 5 games in a row. Like, no, we'll just wait till we see you in the playoffs. As long as we got home court advantage, really, we don't even care if we have home court advantage. As long as we're in the playoffs, which we will be just because our team is that good, right. We'll beat anybody in the East. That's how our mindset was. So we were never like, see how people get excited to come see us when we played last 4 years? We were like, man, it's just another game. We were never worried about it. We knew that the process was long, and we knew that it was going to be a long season.
For those who would ask, is that a healthy attitude or not healthy attitude?
I think it works. Depends on what your who. I think it worked for us because our leader was LeBron. So we know that, you know, when he turns it on, we're going to all turn it on. So we know when it's time to play serious and when it's time to show up to work.
You don't have that much.
But there's not guys like
you
that.
Don't have, you cannot
like Golden
get
State
up
could do that right now
for Indiana or I'm not saying Indiana. Okay, we're in Indiana, but I can't say you can't get up for a 8-14 or 12 team on a Tuesday and then think you're gonna get hype on Thursday for a 1-3 team. It don't work like that. Right? You don't get that much
regardless
attention.
Regardless of what team you're playing for, right?
The arena doesn't even turn on the good lights. Until the TV comes, there's on, bright, good lights, right? When they turn on the good lights, like I said, some dudes come out and they hoop.
Like right? We always say, remember, it'd be like a soft Tuesday in a random city, a soft Tuesday in Indiana, right. A soft Tuesday in Milwaukee. We're like, all right.
But good teams play the games, they learn,
Well, we know we got the Spurs on TNT Thursday. All right, it's time to go, guys.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
Right? Because what's the team on Sunday going to try to do to you? Whatever the team on Tuesday is going to do. Mm-hmm. So you go out there, win that game, don't get hurt, chill, and be good.
But that has to be a vet-led locker room.
Yeah, very vet-led. Yeah. And we were very fortunate to have a lot of vets.
Oh, yeah.
One. And, we were able to do that because we were such a tight-knit group where we had guys that have played multiple years together. I think if it's a first-year team, you can't have that mindset because you're trying to build new habits and build that kind of culture.
But I will say this. Dudes are upset when they leave here. It's just shocking.
Yeah.
Like, why? You know, we don't have the best record in the world, right? I understand. We're really focusing on the future. But our locker room...
No, we have a great locker room.
Yeah. Oh, great. Our locker room cracks right now.
Our locker room
could not be happier.
It's still the same kind of locker room like when we were the last 4 years. Obviously, we're missing Bron, and you know, he's been huge, and he was great in the locker room.
We're lacking talent, but we don't lack heart and commitment to trying to win every night. Now, we may not win because of, you know, they just don't get it, or they don't know, or, you know.
Or just something like you just don't have enough firepower. You just don't have enough firepower.
Floor spacing. Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the firepower or something.
Yeah, right. Like,
George is our dog. He was so sad.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He's low key like.
But he's on the court.
But like, he's on the saying court. Goodbye to everybody.
Yeah. Pre-game, like.
George is a great situation here, like, in the playoffs. The fact that the culture is good and the locker guys want to be
here. We've
had
some great qualities
like,
in our locker room.
If you get G League guys to come in, you know, Blossom Game and JJ have come in and give us great minutes. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they've come in and played the way they have is because they said, okay, this is my role, right? We haven't said here, go out and just play willy-nilly, right? They value the basketball. They value each possession. They try to do what's right. And dudes are, like, playing really good. Dude, it's hard to win an NBA. It's, like,
it is.
It's crazy. I think a lot of people take that, like, for granted. It's hard to win an NBA. You got to have talent. You got to have a system. And you got dudes willing to play for each other and to know how to play real basketball, right? And what I mean is real basketball is a lot of bad teams have guys that will score 20 and be like, they're supposed to be the leader, right? And they will score 20, and yet they'll lose by 20.
Take 18 shots to do it, be a minus
right,
15
be inefficient.
On the floor.
But, okay, right. That's not good for the
team. It's bad. It's just bad. It's bad basketball.
Right,
it's like those aren't stats that help win you games, and those are not stats that you can build with, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Especially when you're a young team. You got to look at the guys that could do stuff that's efficient at a high level.
Right.
You just got to break down each player.
I think it's interesting, Jordan, when you talk about George, you know, getting traded. You know, he gets traded from a team with the record of the Cavs, gets traded to a team that's right in the hunt for the Eastern Conference title right now, and that's the way he felt. I mean, is that what he said to you? I mean, what was the...
Yeah. I mean, I could see it in George's face. I know George for a while.
Yeah, right.
You know, he stays in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I see him a lot in the summertime.
Oh, so you're from San Antonio?
Bro. You know I'm from San Antonio, bro.
You've been trying to claim other hoods, but that's all right. San Antonio, stand up, dog.
Oh, wow. But, yeah, you could just see it in his face. And then, like, even when he was, like, leaving, then we seen him, like, the last
– right.
Few days,
he's
still like
him,
looks
twice
at
last,
he's
like,
still
so
like
twice. It's like he's like he wants to walk in our locker room. Like, bro, no, you can't walk in right now.
He's still like looking and like he's like, damn, those are my boys over there for real.
Yeah,
like
we
actually
really
had
like
a real relationship.
We had like a real
with each
like
other.
We were very.
I think
like,
the thing
man.
With when you come to Cleveland is it's literally
it changed everyone's mindset. No one knows like what how it is when they get here.
And he's got here at the trade deadline. It's not like he's been here for years.
Yeah, but it's us. You gotta have a us. Yeah. Or y'all attitude when you come here.
And then you talked about calling him up and saying, hey, let's go ball out.
Yeah.
So I think that's even something where they're coming in together. And-
yeah. Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, man, what? I know what you was talking about.
No, I knew. I didn't know. I was like, hold on.
Ball out.
I was like.
Ball up? Was it the 3-on-3? The 3-on-3? What y'all talking about?
I was like, what?
The hell y'all talking about?
No, I remember what she talking about, though, because I remember he was like the first person that, because I was sleeping on my couch basically when I got traded.
You on the night before?
It was like one of those things. But yeah, I was sleeping on my couch, man, and then I'm getting all these phone calls. First thing in my mind is I'm in trouble. Then George texts me. Like,
I'm in trouble. See, I told you to do something was going to do that night. My God.
George texts me
JC.
And was like, I was like, this is just a random text in the middle of the year trade deadline. It's the last, like, last night was supposed to be, it's over. And he texted me and was like, yo, what's up? I'm trying to make my way out there. I was like, you trying to come to L.A.? I'm like, I don't understand. What's going on? But, yeah, George is like the first one of the first people I text when it was going down. And
I was when I got traded? Fine. That was cool.
Yeah, yeah. When
yo,
we got
yo,
traded
Channing,
for each other.
Who did we trade for to get you? Oh, we traded, Jared Cunningham and a second-round pick, I think.
No.
For Channing. Yes, it was. It was Jared Cunningham because then they let him go.
And no.
And it was Varejao too, right? It was Varejao and Cunningham because they had to equal the money up, right, or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's crazy. Hang on,
a second. Are you looking it up, right?
Yeah, it was late.
I'm pretty sure you're looking it up.
Beep, beep, beep. Part of a three-team trade, Channing Frye was traded by the Magic to the Cavs. The Cavs traded Jared Cunningham to the Magic. The Cavs traded Andy and a 2018 first-round pick to the Blazers, which later became
a first-round pick?
Which later became Mo Wagner. And the Blazers traded a 2020 second-round pick to the Magic. Three-team deal.
Man, we gave up a man. Mm. We gave up a first round pick for Channing. I mean, it paid off.
What's up?
Cavs didn't have, any first round picks for a while. Really,
they got a steal.
The last couple of seasons. Until
but listen, look. It's the end of our podcast. By it's design. The end of this wonderful, delicious podcast.
You didn't ask me enough questions about me.
We got. Tristan. We have.
No,
tons
we're
going to
ask
we
right
have
now.
Tons more. Let's,
yeah, we have. Okay, let's keep going then.
Speaking
here,
about
let's
me.
Flash a flash
let's focus, let's focus on
flash
Tristan.
Round. Tristan.
Let's focus on
you
Tristan.
Have 2 minutes.
Oh, I like this.
How many
it's
questions,
like,
dude?
Yeah,
Tristan
like,
loves
this is like
it.
A what's it called? Family what's it called? Family Feud?
Yeah, Family Feud.
Yeah,
we
shout
have
out
2 minutes
Harvey.
Right now. Timer.
Glory.
Okay, we're gonna do this for you too, Jordan.
Wow.
You ask a question, John.
I'm gonna ask a question.
All right.
Ready?
Well, let's get our hold on. Let's get our
we're edit. Gonna get our stuff
beep,
right.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. What are we called? Oh, speed round.
Speed round. Here we go.
Do you have a bunch?
Hold on. Oh, yeah.
I have a bunch.
I'm asking the questions.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a stupid noise. It's a stupid noise.
A couple of guys says poo-poo-pee-pee, yeah.
Yeah, poo-poo-pee-pee.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know which one's
am I asking the questions?
No. You're sitting there. You got next. You just sit there.
You just sit there and behave.
Yeah.
Drink your wine. That's what you're going to do today.
All right.
Ready? Set.
Me first or you first?
You first.
Are y'all asking me or y'all ask each other?
No, we're both going to be asking you.
All right, so okay. Start over. Reset the clock. Reset the clock.
Yeah. Oh, take a three minute flash. Yeah, we got a lot of questions, man.
3 minutes. Okay, yeah, ready, go.
T, are you more of a morning person or a night person?
Both.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Is there anything that you'd change about yourself?
No, I'm perfect.
Okay, wow. McDonald's or Burger King?
McDonald's because they're breakfast.
In what ways are you talented?
Offensive rebound.
Do you see a barber or a salonist?
A barber. African American and Jamaican men go to barbers.
Kanye or Drake?
Oh.
Pass.
Oh, wow. Pac or Biggie? Pac or Biggie?
Oh, man. Those are two great, man. I mean, both, man. They're both great. My mom will say Pac.
Boo.
My mom will say Pac. I'll say Biggie.
Okay.
I'm not getting very good ones here. Cats or dogs?
Neither. I hate both.
All right.
Do you wear... Okay, wait. No, I can't.
Whataburger, In-N-Out.
Yeah, Whataburger.
I hate In-N-Out. So overrated.
Whataburger is
amazing.
Way better. In-N-Out is so overrated. That dumb line. I want to go up to them and be like, yo, you guys are wasting your time at this place. Seriously.
Whataburger.
In-N-Out, if you want to impress me, send me a good care package. I might change my mind. But as of right now, I'm going Whataburger. Exactly. Yeah, big plug. That's how you challenge them.
All right, 3 minutes are up. That was a good job.
No, they're not.
That's it, man. I want some more questions.
No, they're not. We have 1 minute. Here we go. I can keep going. If you had to have one superpower, what would it be?
Reading everyone's mind.
Okay.
Delilah,
if you
nice
had to
guy.
Have one car, what would it be?
One car?
Cars.
I always want to have a Rolls Royce in my garage.
Okay. You have the money to do it. But if you had to be one animal, what would it be?
Ooh, a lion.
If you had to eat one fruit every single day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Kiwi.
If would you rather have your knees straight or your elbow straight?
So if my knee is straight, what's wrong with my elbow?
Nothing.
So that what? I don't get that.
No, no, either or. So either your knee can't bend or your elbow can't bend. Which one?
That's
a good question. My kids asked me that. Let's ask
it. Elbow don't bend.
How are you going to eat?
What do you mean? I got two hands.
No, no. But your elbows. Bows.
Oh, no, you said elbow at first.
No, no, no. It's two elbows straight out, boy. You're going to have straight elbows.
No, no. Knees then, for sure.
Knees. Okay, you're walking like a Tin Pinocchio. Man.
Yeah.
If you can switch your style of play with anybody on your team, who would it be?
Jordan Clarkson.
Favorite movie of all time. Wait. Fun watching him play. Last one. What is it?
I said it's fun watching Jordan play.
Wait, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Coming to America.
Oh my God. Okay, cool. All right, Jordan, here we go. Speed 3 minutes. Off my mind. Yeah, off my mind.
You went to good. Yo, J Mike was Googling top speed questions to ask. Oh my God.
I can do this. Here we go. Channing's 3 minutes. Ready? Jordan, white or red wine?
Red.
Red.
Okay, Jordan, favorite tattoo artist?
Steve Wiebe.
What is your hat size?
Youth.
Jordan never wears real hats. Jordan, would you rather live in the swampy area or the dry desert area?
Dry desert.
Okay. The scariest animal to face one-on-one?
Anaconda.
Okay. An animal that you think...
Big pause.
What the...
Hey, the scariest animal...
I'm about the movie, bro.
You think the scariest animal you think you can take one-on-one if you had to live?
If I had to live...
So, like, if you had... Yeah, if you could take down. Yeah, if you could take out.
A shark?
You think you could kill a shark?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
How about this? Butterflies or caterpillars?
Ooh.
Butterflies.
Okay, good.
Supreme or Nike?
Nike.
Yeah. Do it for sure.
Yeah, gotta get the cheese coming in.
Listen, if somebody had to take away one thing from your diet, right, that you love, what would it be?
Somebody took it away from me?
Yeah, but they had to.
Fried chicken.
That's not. Okay, I'm talking about healthy stuff. Like...
But it works for him. I mean, the guy's like 6% body fat. What he can eat whatever he wants. So if you take away chicken from him, he'll be upset. Yeah.
Jordan, if you had to be, or if you had to switch powers with another player, what would it be? Like, you know,
a Kawhi Leonard defense.
Ooh. Okay. If you could put a NBA team in another city, what would it be? Don't say San Antonio.
Seattle.
Okay. Mm, okay. Yeah,
Las Vegas.
If you had a clothing line, what would the name of the clothing line be?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
You got a clothing line?
Didn't you say you had to speak to some?
No, I mean, yeah, I got to speak to my gods.
Your gods? Your clothing gods? What was that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. If you had to give up, like, either being able to score as easy as you do or wearing cool clothes, which one would you give up?
Cool clothes.
Yeah, I gotta go. But say, scoring keeps the cheese coming. I don't know what you think.
The wearing the cool clothes.
I'm burning all your clothes.
All right,
dumbass. I'm like, this dumb.
All right, listen. Here we go.
Trip to space or bottom of the trip to space or bottom of the ocean.
Ooh. Bottom of the ocean. I think
I go bottom of the ocean because uncharted. I think territories.
Yeah, I'm about to say
uncharted. Nobody, you don't know what's down there. We don't even know what's down there.
We don't know.
There might be people down there, like really, like some like Aquaman Atlantis shit.
You think so?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know what? It's enough is enough. I'm tired of you guys being in here, drinking my free wine.
Nah, I appreciate y'all.
No. But honestly, it's been awesome. Tristan, let's give you 30 seconds. Tell us about your thing you do during the summer. It's an awesome event. It's a gala.
Yes. So my gala is the Amari Thompson Fund. It's a gala we do with Epilepsy Toronto. We come together and we raise money for families that need help and assistance, medical, whatever it may be. I think it's a great thing because at the end of the day, we all have our calling. And it's not just about being a pro and playing basketball, the game we love. It's about how you can help others that might not be as, you know, when we're blessed, we need to bless others. And I think I'm in a position where I can spread the word, spread awareness, and kind of help those families that need the help because it's tough. So it's something that I felt was really important to me. It's great. Every year it's getting bigger and bigger. We raise a lot of money. The Minister of Finance in Canada has been very active. We have multiple sponsors and guys that are getting behind it. So it's growing, and you know, that's what it's about. That's the highlight of my summer, really be able to come and spend time and tell my story to others, because it's, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy having a loved one that you care about not be able to be as functional as you want them to be. So, you know, that's how I approach it, and that's my motivation every day to keep getting them rebounds and play hard every night. So to give my family a better life and provide a better opportunity for other families when we do our gala. So
T, it's awesome stuff. We getting to know you over the last 8 years. We've gotten to know Amari too. How's he been?
Yeah, he's been great. He's been, you know, we've found some medication stuff to cut down the seizures. So that's been huge. It's helped my mom a lot. So she's able to get some sleep at night. Now I don't have to worry about, you know, you know, before she'd probably just sleep an hour or two, then wake up to make sure he's all right. But now, so now she can get a full night's rest, and he's developing, getting bigger, eating more. So it's been great.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yep.
You got anything, Jordan?
Ali, I'm drinking wine now. I put the Henny down.
What the?
Shout out, yo. Miss you, dog.
And cut.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we're working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around. Homage. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired, and we'll get a kick out of their special design for Richard and Channing, along with three other designs specific to the Road Trippin' fan. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.